Good morning, and thanks for tuning in on this Tuesday, October 28th, from the Radio On The Go newsroom. I'm Sean Dietz. The Mason City Police Department is investigating a shooting that occurred early yesterday morning. According to police, officers were called to a disturbance at a residence on 29th Street Southwest at around 3:55 yesterday morning. While responding, officers located another person involved in the incident who was driving to Mercy 1 North Iowa with a gunshot wound. At the scene, officers identified the occupants of the home and found evidence of a shooting. After obtaining a search warrant, police recovered a firearm from inside the residence. 35-year-old Michael Anthony Orozco of Mason City was admitted to Mercy 1 North Iowa with a gunshot wound to the abdomen. His injuries are not considered life-threatening. 30-year-old Cody Dean Dakin, also of Mason City, has been charged with being a prohibited possessor of a firearm. He's being held at the Cerro Gordo County Jail in Mason City without bond pending a court appearance. That incident remains under investigation. Anyone with information is asked to contact Criminal Investigation Lieutenant Brett Hollander at the Mason City Police Department. A Williams woman is facing several felony charges following a narcotics investigation by the Hamilton County Sheriff's Office. According to a news release from the office, on October 24th at around 4:50 p.m., a deputy on patrol near the Flying J in Williams stopped a vehicle with a license plate that did not match the vehicle it was attached to. The driver, identified as Robbie Lynn Walker, 49 years old from Williams, was contacted, and a canine unit later detected the odor of narcotics coming from the vehicle, a 1986 Ford Coachman motorhome. During a probable cause search, deputies found illegal narcotics and items used for drug distribution, including psilocybin mushrooms, methamphetamine, marijuana, digital scales, and drug paraphernalia. A search warrant was later executed, and investigators discovered additional evidence suggesting narcotics were being sold from the vehicle. Walker was later arrested and transported to the Hamilton County Jail, where she's held on a $48,200 bond. Walker faces felony charges of ongoing criminal conduct and possession with intent to deliver methamphetamine, psilocybin mushrooms, and marijuana. The Hamilton County Sheriff's Office reminds the public that all individuals are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. A full press release on the matter can be found attached to this news story at RadioOnTheGo.com. In other news, farmers across the state are making steady harvest progress as dry conditions continue and the first hard freeze of the season hits the area. According to the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship, the dry weather has allowed many farmers to finish soybeans and move quickly through corn harvest. State climatologist Justin Glisson reports that statewide temperatures averaged around 50 degrees last week, right on par for late October, but conditions remained much drier than normal. Here in Hampton, overnight lows dipped to 28 degrees twice last week, marking the area's first hard freeze and officially ending the growing season. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Negg said farmers are taking advantage of the favorable weather, and though a few light showers are possible this week, any pause in field work should be short-lived. Warmer, drier weather is expected to return as the month of November returns. Well, Iowans are being warned about a new type of scam that might sound like Halloween fun, but it's actually the first step toward having your identity stolen. Kisha Duncan with the Better Business Bureau says, what's known as ghost tapping can be frightening to your personal finances.
It's actually a type of scamming that takes advantage of tap-to-pay credit cards and mobile wallets. Scammers will purchase a tap machine. If someone doesn't have an RFID wallet or sleeve for protection, it will allow that person to just bump into you and scam your credit card.
Duncan says ghost tap scammers can use these portable machines to steal your credit card information, often in crowded places.
Like festivals or flea markets or even concerts. They want to get in places where they can bump into people, and it's very, very scary. You're much more vulnerable, so you need to be very careful about that.
As technology advances, so do the criminals, and Duncan says Iowans need to be vigilant with their personal financial data.
If you're in a high-traffic area, even in the store, you might consider just going ahead and inserting your card or using the swipe feature for your card.
A little caution can go a long way in avoiding a costly scam, Duncan says. She recommends using the Better Business Bureau's Scam Tracker, a free tool that helps Iowans spot and report suspicious activity. That tool can be found by visiting this link at RadioOnTheGo.com. That link takes you to the Better Business Bureau's website, bbb.org/scamtracker. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources has just completed taking public input as it considers strengthening Iowa drinking water standards. The state's waterways have long been contaminated with high levels of pollutants that have been tied to the state's factory farms, according to some. Even the Des Moines River, which borders the city and provides drinking water for the capital city's residents, routinely contains high levels of noxious nitrates. Iowa Environmental Council General Counsel Michael Schmidt says clean water advocates are calling on the DNR to tighten nitrogen and phosphorus limits in the state's rivers and streams as they produce dangerous algae.
We also want DNR to set a protective nitrate standard for drinking water, which has been a concern, especially this summer. We want standards for microcystin, which is a toxin produced by algae, and we also want standards for protecting human health.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency recommended updating human standards in 2015, but as of now, Schmidt says the state has not done so. Iowa's current safety threshold for nitrates is 10 milligrams per liter, but new research suggests that nitrate exposure may be toxic even at lower levels. Schmidt says outdated nitrate safety standards create even more dangerous conditions for Iowa's waterways, many of which are already impaired.
About two-thirds of our waters are impaired, not meeting the uses that the state has already set. And for a lot of our lakes, we are seeing microcystin advisories. So that's the toxin produced by algae.
Water researchers arrived at the suggested tighter standards based on concerns from Iowans about the potential link between the state's second highest cancer rate and exposure to chemicals released by factory farms into the air and nearby groundwater. Back closer to home, the Franklin County Board of Supervisors handled the full agenda during their meeting yesterday held at the courthouse in Hampton. Supervisors approved plans and a February 17th letting for a HMA hot mix asphalt resurfacing with milling project on County Road S56 running from Highway 57 north 12 miles to Main Street in Geneva. The board opened a single bid for annual audit services and awarded the contract to Gardner Company at amounts not to exceed $51,050 for this fiscal year, $55,135 for fiscal year 27, and $59,550 for fiscal year 28. One snow removal bid was received. That contract was tentatively awarded to Team Concrete pending proof of insurance and a signed agreement. Supervisors adopted a resolution that rescinds an earlier courthouse repointing action after cost estimates came in higher than expected. Revised options are due November 3rd, and previously scheduled November 10th through 12th bid and hearing dates were canceled. They also adopted a resolution authorizing stop payment on several outstanding checks, including one issued as fiscal agent for CICS. A request for financial support of an amicus brief in Couser versus Shelby County was tabled until next week. The next regular meeting will be held on Monday, 8:30 a.m. at the courthouse in Hampton. The Hampton-Dumont Community School District's School Improvement Advisory Committee met recently. The committee, which can be made up of students, parents, teachers, administrators, and community members, provides recommendations to the school board on educational needs, student learning goals, and programs that support a positive school environment. During their most recent meeting, members of HD's SIAC reviewed the district's long-range and annual improvement goals, discussed spring 2025 student data, and voted to recommend the proposed academic goals for this school year to the school board. The group also reviewed and suggested updates to the district's community survey, last conducted in 2015. Elementary counselor Kate Meter shared updates with the committee on bullying prevention programs. Committee recommendations will be presented to the school board in November. The Clarion-Goldfield-Dowse Community School District has announced three finalists in its search for their next superintendent. The candidates are current CGD pre-K through 8 principal Jared Carter, Ken Casper, who currently serves as the shared superintendent of Garner Hayfield Ventura and Rudd Rockford Marble Rock Schools, and Joel Martin, who is principal at Westwood Elementary in Ankeny. Carter has served in multiple administrative roles within CGD and Eagle Grove and was also named Iowa's Elementary Physical Education Teacher of the Year in 2018. Casper brings 8 years of superintendent experience leading districts through financial recovery and facility upgrades, and Martin has overseen academic growth and improved test scores in Ankeny while pursuing a PhD at Drake University. Formal interviews with the finalists are scheduled for Thursday, with a final decision expected by the CGD school board soon after. The new superintendent for Clarion-Goldfield-Dowse Schools is set to begin their new duties on July 1st, 2026. The Hampton Senior Center has received a $5,000 donation from First Bank Hampton and the A.M. and Helen L. Saylor Foundation to help support its ongoing programs and operations. In a press release, First Bank Hampton says the center is a valued part of the community, offering local seniors a safe and welcoming place to gather for meals, entertainment, and social activities. First Bank Hampton President and CEO Tyler Heron adds that the bank is proud to support the center and the important role it plays in the lives of various seniors. Heron says the donation reflects the bank's commitment to promoting social connection and recreation for older residents. Staff at the Hampton Senior Center expressed their appreciation, saying the contribution will help maintain programs and keep the doors open for everyone who depends on its services. And finally, this morning, some area communities have adjusted their trick-or-treating schedules due to football. Local football teams have advanced in the postseason, and in Hampton, that means the Hampton-Dumont-Cal Bulldogs will face Osage in a road playoff game on Friday night, prompting the city to move trick-or-treating time to Saturday from 5 until 7 p.m. Sheffield has also made a change, as the West Fork Warhawks will travel to take on St. Ansgar on Friday evening. Trick-or-treating in Sheffield now will be set for Saturday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. In Clarksville, the Indians are set to play Don Bosco in the playoffs, and Clarksville's community trick-or-treat hours have now been adjusted to Saturday from 5 until 7 p.m. Residents are encouraged to plan accordingly and support their hometown football teams before celebrating Halloween festivities this week. Our coverage with postseason football includes Hampton-Dumont-Cal at Osage on Friday night on 99 The Wave, while West Fork will take on St. Ansgar with coverage on 104.9 KLMJ. And of course, we wish everybody a safe and happy Halloween, and good luck to our area football teams as well. That's all for Radio On The Go News this morning. Stay tuned. There's more to come, including a look at our regional weather forecast, as well as funeral announcements coming up right after this.